You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavs, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at fearthestore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review is the best way to support the show. Find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. So today's show is just me, a solo show here on Monday, July 29th. I'm breaking down the Cavs rotation. So I wrote about this at Free the Sword. You can check that out. You can find the link to that piece down in the show notes in the whatever iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the show. I wrote about it. If you want to read the written version as an addition to the podcast, I would highly recommend doing so. We're going to go, each segment is going to be a different position group. Guards up first, segment two after the first break will be wings, and then we're going to get into the front court in the last segment, and then in the last segment as well, we'll kind of just look at a possible rotation. I have guys listed out right now in the post that I kind of think will play versus won't play, and again, this is all very speculative right now. It's July. We don't really know what Beilein's thinking. We don't quite know what he thinks of different players. We'll see what he's kind of thinking once he kind of gets the season going. But okay, here's how I have the guards broken out if I were John Beilein. If I were kind of setting the rotation and sort of what I think makes the most sense for this group, if you wanted to maximize the guys you have, this is how I would do it. So I would just rip the Band-Aid off from the beginning and start Sexton and start Darius Garland. This is the pairing the Cavs are banking their future on. This is the pairing that the Cavs are going to really be hoping turn into their own version of Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. It's either going to be their Lillard or McCollum or their own Brandon Jennings, Monta Ellis. There's not an expectation that this group is going to make the playoffs next year. So I just don't see why we would not start with them from day one. Now, if you're the Cavs and you look at this, maybe you have some concerns about Garland's health. David Griffin said recently on an episode of Full 48 that Garland had maybe had a couple surgeries. As far as I know, he just had the one for his meniscus. He hasn't played basketball in a long time, so maybe you want to ease him into this. Colin Sexton did that last year, didn't really start starting full-time until at least a month into the season. Perhaps that's the case. Perhaps that happens with Garland as well. I think if one of these two is going to come off the bench, even if some in the Cavs organization thinks Sexton's future might be as a guy coming off the bench and scoring and making plays with a second unit, Garland would be the likely one to do it on day one. But I don't see why you wouldn't. They're going to be bad on defense defensively regardless of who you start. I think you kind of are, like, I'm not as interested in, like, a Delly Sexton starting backcourt. I'm not interested in, like, a Sexton Knight starting backcourt. Let's just see what these two guys can do. Let's see how they can both play off ball. Let's see how they both look kind of learning and playing with each other. This is, unless their plan is to, like, flip Sexton for something down the line, or one of these guys, I should say, let's find out how they look. Let's get them comfortable together. Let's get the minutes together. Let's just see what that looks like. I think if you're the Cavs, that's the way you have to sort of look at this. So I would just start them on day one. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what Beilein's thinking. These are things I think will be very pressing to ask him come the start of training camp. But that's where I'm at with that. I would just start the two guys that you're banking your future on, really, and then adjust as you need. Maybe you don't start them right away, but I think at some point next year, we need to see a large sample size of Sexton and Garland starting together and just seeing how those two kind of can coexist on the court together. Okay, so then if you're looking at rotation locks, I would say Jordan Clarkson is the one lock here. I think this is for two reasons. This is sort of a problematic sentence, but right now he is the Cavs' best perimeter scorer. That's just more about the roster than Clarkson, but he does have some ability to get buckets. Clarkson really did kind of grow on me last year. I think you could utilize him in some smart ways and then make things work there. Number two, he's an expiring contract. This is a guy that is going into next year, not just on an expiring deal that might be, you know, interest of a team that needs to make a move, that needs to kind of do some other things to kind of energize their roster, and maybe Clarkson's shot creation is kind of their thing. But if you look at this, he's making 13.4 next year. I don't see a long-term future for him in Cleveland. I just think if you're building the way you are, he doesn't make a ton of sense. So why, I don't think he's really in the plans beyond the 2019-20 season. I think he's going to be dangled. I think, you know, like the Cavs 2 years ago, he's going to be of interest to teams that feel like he could be just a missing piece. We'll see what he looks like in Beeline system. But I think there's just no way he doesn't play. He isn't the sixth man on this team. They need someone who can just comfortably create their own shot. I think Sexton can do that. Obviously, I think Kevin Love has some ability to do that as well. But Clarkson's going to be that spark plug off the bench. And even if he doesn't finish the season in that role with the Cavs, he's going to be trying to do that for somebody. And I think he's going to also just going to be playing for a contract next year. You know, this is a guy that is going to be a free agent in a weak free agency class. He has a great year, tries on defense, is a little better on that end. Maybe he gets another kind of comfortable payday, which will probably be the last kind of bigger one of his career, you would think, just because he's in his later 20s at this point. But we'll kind of see where that goes. And if you're looking at guys that I think are jockeying for minutes, I think it's Dele and it's Brandon Knight. They provide different things. Dele is going to be the 3-and-D guy. He's going to come in, be maybe guard point guards. Maybe they're sticking Sexton or Garland or whomever's playing with Dele onto different guards. Maybe they're sliding onto two guards that are coming off screens that aren't going to handle the ball as much, and they just have Dele handle the onslaught of pick and rolls that'll come, for example. Knight's going to command the ball more. He's going to spot up, but he's not going to try a ton on defense. He's not going to try just a lot on that end based on last year. He still, again, was working his way back from that ACL injury last year, but they're just going to provide completely opposite things in terms of their defensive ability. Knight's going to have a little more juice with the ball in his hands. Dele's going to be a little more more functional without it, but both can at least play off ball. They both can at least spot up in that way. These are also both guys on expiring contracts that are going to be probably making less than they are next season. Knight's at 15.6 next year. Dele's at 9.6. They're both probably playing for some kind of future contract. They're both going to, again, they have something to prove, and it's kind of a tough situation for them, but there's not going to be a ton of minutes for either of them, really, and I think that's got to be something that we'll see if that gets talked about coming in. I think if you're looking at who's a better fit for this position group, I do think that it is, I think it's definitely Matthew Dellavedova. The 3-and-D, just the ability to not need the ball, that he can at least play and try on defense, I think for him, that just makes him a much better kind of fit. You know, I don't necessarily believe that he's, like, Knight's a bad fit. I don't think he's, like, a super problematic fit, but I just think, you know, you're in a situation where we got to just kind of see, you know, if he can really do some work and really do some interesting stuff on defense to make him compelling versus Dele. I think Dele's just going to come in and fit a role better, and, you know, I just think that's going to be... It is what it is. We'll see if they both play. We'll see if they, you know, if we don't see them as much because the Cavs are playing more bigs, which we'll get to in there. They want to play two of Wendler, Porter Jr., and Jetty Osman. But that's where we have the guards. And so I think start Sexton Garland, play Clarkson, and then I think play Dele as kind of your backup one and backup two. And maybe he's your starter with Sexton on opening night just to kind of ease things into the season. But I think one of him and Knight's just going to be sitting on the bench, and that's uncomfortable for them, but I think it's just the reality for this group. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with more Locked On Cavaliers. Just a couple notes about who is sponsoring the shows. Support of Locked On Cavs today comes from Manscaped, the number one men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. This is a company that offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with promo code LOCKEDON. And then also we're brought to you by the Locked On NFL show. Make sure you listen to the new Locked On NFL with expert analysis of former scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast of all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. And again, if you're looking for that local angle, Locked On Browns has you covered as well. We'll be right back with more Locked On Cavaliers. Chris Manning here, back with the next part of Locked On Cavaliers. So, I think Jetty Osmond on the wing, as we look at this position group, is the clear starter. Jetty is in a really interesting position. He's still very young, still kind of getting his feet wet in the NBA, has barely played over 3,000 total minutes in the NBA, but this is a guy that is still, I think, kind of getting his kind of legs under him and kind of figuring things out, and we don't really know what he is yet. So if you look at this group too, this is where we really see that the Cavs haven't signed any players in free agency. This is where we see that this is a team that doesn't have a lot of bodies right now, that doesn't have depth at certain positions, and that's really on the wing. Jetty kind of is in a position now where he has to be the starter. If the Cavs do make another signing, I don't count the J.P. McCurra signing because he's Exhibit 10. I think he's going to be a two-way guy or at least on the kit in charge next year, if anything. It's got to be on the wing. I have talked to people in the know, and they say that the Cavs and Nick Stauskas have talked about a new deal. There's nothing imminent. I would say ditto for Jaron Blossom Game, who was a two-way contract player last year. I think either of them would make sense. I think both would come cheaply as the Cavs try to stay under the luxury tax. But I think that's just, if they're going to sign someone, it's going to be a wing depth piece. Maybe not a rotation piece, but I think at least someone, another body there to kind of give the team depth behind Jetty, Kevin Porter Jr., and Dylan Windler. Stauskas, to me, would kind of be the obvious one, but I think Blossom Game would make sense as well. But for Osmond, he's kind of the vet on the roster. He's the vet of this group right now. That's with a total of 3,116 minutes right now, because David Nwaba is now a Brooklyn Net. The Cavs are going to probably ask him to guard the best opposing wing night in and night out. When they go small, he's going to be the guy that's going to have to play the four. He did that last year. I don't think it's the right move to have Kevin Porter or Windler do that, so I think you just have to ask one Jetty Osmond to do it and just kind of see where it gets him. And I think the hope that there just has to be hope that he's going to take a step up this year. For him, he has to, I think, do a better job with defense. I think, you know, he didn't benefit from defending bigger players last year, but he doesn't rate out well by statistics. I think he has good effort and good instincts on that end, but he has to, I think, even out and become a cleaner defender, a defender who's making more plays, a defender who's kind of at least hanging a little bit more if the Cavs are going to throw all of this at him, because there is going to be just a lot thrown at him, and he's going to have to handle it if the Cavs are at all going to have a passable or at least like defense that can at least do something every once in a while and not get completely ripped off the floor all the time. And his three-point shot, I think, needs to even out, and I would really like to see him be a little bit more creative. I think his best attribute as a player is him as a creator, throwing the crazy passes, throwing the making the reads where you see him throwing a look passes, push the ball up floor, do really dynamic things that energize his team and kind of make him stand out amongst a crowded field of players. That's what made Jetty really interesting with the Turkish national team. That is what makes him really interesting as a prospect. We have not seen much of that in the NBA. I don't think the Cavs' offensive system did him any real favors last year. I think he, in Beeline's system, I think he's a guy that should fit what John Beeline does to a T. I think just what Beeline's system is going to, at least in theory, enable him to do is really going to make Jetty stand out on that end. And for him, he's also another guy that is playing for his next contract. Jetty is entering the last year of his rookie deal, making $2.97 million. He'll be a restricted free agent this upcoming summer. The Cavs can extend him a qualifying offer of about $5.5 million. He's probably going to be looking for more than that I would imagine. I don't know how much more he can get. The Cavs certainly have leverage on him. But if he gets has a really good season, he'll have not only he can not only have leverage with the Cavs and say, "Hey, look, I took a big step up. I believe I want to be here. I want to be a part of your future core. But I need to be part of that. I need to be paid accordingly for that." He could go to other teams in a summer where there's going to be some cap space, but it's a weak free agency class, and maybe get a player-friendly deal. Get a player-friendly deal that gets him paid, but also allows him to get back on the market again in a year or two. The Cavs have to consider that a possibility if Jetty comes out, performs real well, and has a great year, and I think he's going to have the opportunity to do that. If you're looking at a comparison-type deal, I don't think the amount of money is the same, but Chandler Parsons getting that deal from Dallas that allowed him some flexibility and more freedom to kind of outline his future, not for 4 years, but for like 2 years. I think that's what you're looking at as sort of the template. Like if he gets a 2+1 or a 1+1 or something like that, where he has the ability to opt in or opt out based on how he's performing. But for him to get that, he's going to have to play really well. But again, he's probably going to play 30-some minutes a night at the 3 and 4 spots for this Cavs team. If he has a great year, takes a step forward, he's going to be in a good position. If not, well, the context will matter, but he'll have a little bit less leverage. I'm looking at the two rookies, Dylan Windler, Kevin Porter Jr. They're two different types of players. Windler is older. He's 3 years older than the 19-year-old Kevin Porter. Porter Jr., I think, has the higher upside as a prospect. He needs some seasoning and development before he's ready to play. I think Windler is going to come in on day one, have his three-point shooting and that deep range, a little bit of the ball handling, and just be able to figure out what he's going to do. I think all three are going to play, but I think how this gets managed, particularly behind Jetty, is going to be really interesting. These guys could play some 2-2, and what does that mean for the veteran guards? What does that mean for the bigs? Because the Cavs do have a lot of bigs, which we'll get into. Beeline system historically kind of plays one big and has a lot of spacing, so we'll kind of see how that plays about with this roster too. But I think one of the biggest things, questions I have, is really just seeing how John Beeline and how this organization approaches what they need to do with Porter Jr. and Windler. I think Porter Jr. has the potential to be like a 1- or 2-time All-Star if things go right for him. I don't think that's in the cards for Windler, but Windler's ceilings, their floors are probably a little bit higher, and I just want to see if the Cavs do something where they bring along Porter Jr. slowly to kind of give him a better chance. We're going to talk a lot more about Kevin Porter Jr. tomorrow on tomorrow's show with Ben Pfeiffer, so you have to check that out for more on the 30th overall pick from this past draft. But again, I think he's going to play. I think Windler's going to play. I don't know quite minutes yet, but I think both of them should be in the rotation. Unless Porter Jr. is a disaster and needs time, like in the G League, or just needs time to figure stuff out, then maybe, you know, this becomes more of a pressing concern. And again, signing a veteran or signing just a quote-unquote young veteran like Blossom Game or Stauskas to that 14th roster spot would make some sense. We'll see there. If you're looking at another guy that I think would make some sense, Jovo Zuzman would be a really interesting candidate. Undrafted, I think stood out in summer league, has the profile of a Beeline player, I think fits the Cavs' needs pretty well too. Wing play is always really important. If he could enter in this conversation too, I don't think there's been significant conversations about the Cavs and Zuzman, or there's been kind of talk in that regard, but I kind of think he would be a really interesting fit if they could go out and get him. He's 21, he's actually back with Maccabi Tel Aviv, as I kind of Google this to make sure, but I think he would have been a really nice get for the Cavs if he could have been brought over, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be in the cards for him. Okay, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to be back with more looking at the bigs and the overall outlook of the roster. Today's podcast, though, is also brought to you by Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable sock in the history of feet. Plus, for every Bombas purchase, they donate a pair of socks to someone in need. Find out more about what feet daydream about at bombas.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's with a capital O and a capital L, today, and get 20% off at bombas.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON. And also check out LOCKEDON NBA. NBA player and Locked On podcast analyst Trevor Booker joined the Monday Locked On NBA show. He broke down the deals. He left one surprising team out as a title contender and is high on one team way more than others out in the loaded Western Conference. Check that out at Locked On NBA, wherever you're listening to Locked On Cavs. We'll be right back. And we're back. Today's the last segment for this Monday, July 29th show. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com. Okay, front court. I think this is the most, this is not the most interesting group, but there's just a lot of weirdness here. So I think if you're looking at projected starters in the front court, it's Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson are the two sort of guys that make the most sense. I think either if it's not Thompson, it's Larry Nance Jr., and then Thompson sort of the rotation lock. Those guys just make the most sense. Something's going to have to give here, though. Love, as long as he's on the team, is a lock to start, and I think should be the focal point of the offense. At the very least, he's going to make Beilein's system function a little bit ever for everyone else, and that's going to matter on a team that's asking a lot of young players and young guards and decision-makers in general. I think Thompson, historically, has been very good when paired with Love. He provides some defensive cover up front and for the whole team, and that's a team that's going to need it, especially without David Nwaba there to at least have a pulse and have the strength of an actual NBA player to defend. And Nance Jr., to me, just kind of makes the most sense as a kind of a six-man type coming off the bench as a backup for both spots. He could start in place of Thompson. This, again, assumes that Love is on the roster at the start of the year. But I think Nance and Love are just kind of locks. And if Nance is, and I think Thompson is too, but I think if Nance in particular kind of looks like the guy he did last year, and it has the three-point shooting, has the playmaking, has some of the passing that really helped him stand out and makes him a little bit different. I'll link to a piece I wrote about his passing in the show notes. Nance becomes like a really useful utility piece. Just has to be proven to be real. The three-point shot is something that I think he took away more of last year. Statistically, he took, you know, more shots and more passes, and it was more creative in that aspect of the game. But it's not something that he did consistently sometimes with the shooting and the passing. He has to kind of just prove it over the course of a full season. The shooting has to be done over the course of a full season. We'll see if he can do that. And if he does, the things get kind of more interesting for him as he goes forward. But I like Nance. I like all three of those guys. Those would be my top three. But then you get into, you have two other guys who I think can be useful. You have John Henson, who is on an expiring contract, as is Tristan Thompson, worth noting. John Henson came to the Cavs in the same trade that brought back Delly, but he hasn't played due to injury. I think he was close, if not ready, to play at the end of the season from everything I understand, but they didn't play him. They just kind of let him finish out the season, kind of getting healthy, but he's back now. He's clearly going to want to have something to kind of prove here. He's making 9.7. He's the lowest besides Delly of the expiring contract. He's very flippable, and at least in theory is very flippable, but it'll be interesting to see if he does play. You know, does Beilein want to go two bigs? If he goes two bigs, do him and Nance's duo make sense? Does he make sense in other capacities? I kind of think he's kind of one of the wrinkles in this, you know, to push back against the lack of wing depth. Do they go with two bigs? I mean, I don't know if that makes sense for Beilein. Nance's shooting and Love shooting would kind of be the things that make that more possible, and Thompson and Henson kind of function as rim runners, but I don't know what the likelihood of that is. We just kind of need to see what he thinks, how the roster changes, because there are all these expiring contracts. How that factors into this is just kind of a concern. And look, Love could get traded too. And if he gets flipped, all of the calculus here changes based on what comes back and what kind of vacuum he would leave and gaping hole he would leave. Then you have Ante Zizic. So Zizic is, I think he had decent numbers last year. I don't think Ante Zizic is by any means like a future all-star or a future like super key piece, but he's still 22. I think he has some decent instincts on the defensive end, moves his feet, can at least put his arms up and do some kind of work there. His numbers last year in 59 games, played 18.3 minutes, shot 55% from the field, doesn't take threes, shot 70% from the line, 5.4 boards a game, 7.8 points, about half a block a game. Those are his first real NBA numbers. He played some as a rookie in 2017-18, the last LeBron year, but not anything there to really take home as a sample size. What we see last year is his sample size. And look, he's on the last year of his rookie deal before his rookie option. I would have to get picked up for $3.8 million in 2020-2021. He's a guy that I think has a home in the NBA. I just think this is the year where it's going to happen or it's not. He's not super old, again, by any means, but we need to see if he has a place. And if I'm curious to see what kind of, you know, minutes the Cavs can give him, and if Beilein's interested in him as a prospect, and how, if, you know, he might be ahead of Henson just based on his youth, and if they want to see if they can get something out of him, and who he might be best paired with. You know, could you go, I don't think Thompson and Love make sense together, or Thompson and Nance make sense together, excuse me, but could you go Nance at the four with Zizic at the five? I would say that's more palatable than like a Zizic-Henson duo. You know, if he could get 10 minutes a game, I don't think that's a bad thing, just to kind of see what you have in him. And then if you're looking at a pure depth feed, Dean Wade on a two-way deal is the guy that we'll certainly see if he gets called up at all, if there are trades, if he gets converted to a real contract. We'll kind of see what that means for him. I don't quite know, but I think you're looking at Love, Thompson, Nance, and then as the locks with Love and I think Thompson probably starting, Nance coming off the bench, and then Zizic and Henson perhaps jockeying for minutes. Maybe Beilein goes two bigs just to offset the lack of real wings on this team, because it is a weirdly constructed roster as it's kind of in flux here. I would be more personally interested in Zizic playing as opposed to Henson, but maybe he goes with the vet. We don't quite know yet, but that's just where we are at that. Again, so here is just how sort of how I have this projected out. If I was saying this is what I think is a likely starting lineup on day one, I think it's Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Jetty Osmond, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. Two notes here. Dele in place of Garland would make sense to me just because of wanting to bring along Garland slowly because he hasn't played basketball in about a year because of the meniscus injury. And then I would just say Sexton being listed in the quote-unquote point guard spot isn't indicative of him being that. I would just say like that's just how I wrote that out on my sheet of paper. So I don't necessarily think it's like Sexton is the one, Garland's the two. It's probably going to be some sort of hybrid. I think Jetty should get some more creation ability. Love's certainly going to get some opportunities to be creative. And we'll go from there. Then you go with the main bench guys. I think it's Clarkson and Nance. I think Clarkson being the six-man creative type, I think he's the guy that's going to come in and just rack up shots. Nance comes in, fills in at the four and the five, hopefully can provide, I think, if you're the Cavs, that shooting, that passing to kind of differentiate his role with Thompson's and provide just some things that these bench units are really going to need. He's going to have an opportunity, I think, to take a step up next year. And then if you're looking at guys that I think will see regular playing time, I think it's Dele, Windler, and Porter. So that leaves Knight, Henson, Zizic, and Dean Wade on that two-way deal, and whomever they sign to either the 14th roster spot or another two-way deal on the outside looking in. I think Zizic would be the next guy up for me from that last tier, then Knight, then Henson. And again, this roster with all the trades, with all the potential trades, with all the expiring contracts, this is something that could very well change. This roster could feature a ton of different pieces by the time I'm talking to you on this podcast in like November, lead up to the deadline in February, whatnot. That's just the kind of situation we are in with this group. Just looking at it, there's just so much that could change, so much that I expect to change, and we'll see how it affects the young guys. We'll see what sort of structures change and what kind of guys leave and go and what that means. But right now, I would just say a starting five, the guys that are, there's like 10 guys that should play maybe 11, 12. I don't think any of these guys are necessarily bad. I just think there's a lot of overlap, and there's a clear need for pieces on the wing to play some minutes so Jetty doesn't have to just be bamboozled by, like, LeBron or Kawhi or something on a night-to-night basis. So that's going to be it for today's show. Going to be back tomorrow with Ben Pfeiffer on Twitter at Ben_Pfeiffer_. That's P-F-E-I-F-E-R if you're looking to spell Pfeiffer on Twitter. His work can be found at places like The Rookie Wire from USA Today, SB Nation's The Bird of Rights, that's a Pelicans blog, and FanSided's 8 Points, 9 Seconds, where he writes about the Pacers. We're going to talk about Kevin Porter Jr. and how the Cavs can make the most of his talent. If you have questions you want answered in the next mailbag, you can submit those to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. We're going to do a big mailbag show sometime later in August, so please list your questions. Leave that 5-star review to guarantee your question does get answered, and we're going to have a lot of fun answering those, hopefully with a cool guest or two. But thank you so much for listening. This has been Locked On Cavs for Monday, July 29th. I'm Chris Manning. Talk to you again tomorrow.